Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Shotgun snap to Allen. Has a pocket, fires one down the middle to the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. Caught for the touchdown, Isaiah McKenzie. From the Detroit 3, drops the snap, picks it up, takes a look. He's going to run with it. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen ran it in from 3 yards out. He dropped the snap and he ran it in anyway. Touchdown, Bills. They take the lead.
No panic. Understand that we have a chance. We had all three timeouts. We had 23 seconds left. We trust the guys that we put on the field. And we work extremely hard at what we do. You know, I really appreciate McDermott and Doris for giving us the opportunity to go dip our toe there. Some guys may have taken a knee there, but we were going to be aggressive. And again, it paid off. So I appreciate our staff for letting us do that.
Josh takes a shotgun snap. Steps up in the pocket. Guns one straight down the middle. Looking for Diggs. Makes the catch. He makes the catch at the 40-yard line, and he is brought down there. 40-yard line of the Lions. What a big pickup that was.
I just knew we were going to have another chance, you know, given our offense. I just knew another chance is going to pop up, and I got to be ready for it. And I just quickly reset and just got to my next process.
It'll be 45 yards from the right hash. Here we go. Ferguson, the snapper. Martin, the holder. The snap is good. The kick is long enough. It is up. It is good. Still 2 seconds left on the clock. A 45-yard field goal for Tyler Bass to put the Bills on top, 28-25, with 2 seconds remaining. Tyler Bass owns this building.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show with Sneaky Joe DiBiase on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sounded like a great game. There was way more anxiety to that game than what just the highlights make it sound like. And I'm sure all Bills fans experienced that to some extent on Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. Joe DiBiase here on the Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio is off today. He did the show on Tuesday, so making up for his day off here today. And the Bills get a win over the Lions, which means it's going to be a little bit more timid, a little more tame around here, I think. It would have been the building on fire, picket signs, just everyone would have been pretty upset, I think, had they found a way to lose to the Detroit Lions. And it felt like they were trending towards that again. The Bills lose in the dumbest of ways, whether it's fumbling a snap on a QB sneak against the Vikings, or it's 50-mile-per-hour winds against New England, or the sun just decides, hey, I'm gonna light the field on fire 150 degrees against Miami. A Hail Mary against the Cardinals. Here was the Lions game, and Tyler Bass misses an extra point. And didn't everybody at the same time go, uh-oh, here we go. It's only a three-point game now. We're going to have to deal with overtime. Just, this is not good. They're going to find a way to lose this football game, even though more times than not, they find a way to win the football game. And that's exactly what happened with that pass Josh Allen threw to Stephon Diggs. It relaxes everybody just a little bit, and I think allows everybody to evaluate what the Bills' problems are at this moment in time without coming at it from an emotional standpoint. Had they lost,
I think it would have been a lot more emotions at play. And now we can just hardcore, just evaluate what they are. Why is the red zone offense the way it is? Why are they throwing picks in the red zone every single game? Why can they not get anybody consistently involved that is not named Stephon Diggs? Although Isaiah McKenzie did do that yesterday. And now all these injuries are piling up. There's a lot to get to. And I want to discuss Jeremy's poll from earlier that we talked a lot about with Howard and Jeremy on the morning show today. Thinking about the Bills and their concerns and, you know, what they could improve upon. And Jeremy put up a poll a little bit earlier that which do you think is the trouble with the Bills offense right now? The offensive coordinator, Allen's elbow, roster construction, or nothing at all? And the largest segment of fans answered the offensive coordinator. So we'll talk about Dorsey today. I do want to talk about Allen's injury. I do think that it is affecting his play. That might not even be saying much at this point. It might be assumed by everybody that it's affecting his play. And also the roster construction, because I think it's a little bit of all three of those. And I'll let you know which one I think it's the most of. But nitpicking the offense. Let's nitpick the offense a little bit today. But also bask in the fact that they did win the football game. They kept pace with Miami, who is more likely than not going to win on Sunday when they play a Kyle Allen-led Houston Texans team that has one win and is the bottom of the NFL right now. They are probably going to still be one game behind the Chiefs, because the Chiefs this week play Bryce Perkins and the LA Rams, who might be the second worst team in football right now next to the Houston Texans. So this is probably the way it's going to be for the time being. Bills 8-3, good. You kept pace and you didn't drop one when the two teams that you're tracking down in the standings are probably not going to drop one this week. 803-0550 is the phone number. No guests. It's just me and you throughout the morning here, 10 to 12 here in the Extra Point Show, 803-0550. I want to take a lot of calls. I want to gauge where fans are at, somewhere in between hopeful and happy they won the game versus concerned that they still look like, the offense still looks like it's a struggle at times. Let's go right to the phone lines also. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Ron in Tonawanda, who wants to jump on about the tight end position. What's up, Ron?
Hi, Joe. Yeah, I'm right to your subject you're talking about. I'm wondering what's going on with Knox. He seems to disappear. I mean, last year he helped a lot. Red zone, he caught quite a few touchdown passes in the red zone. All of a sudden, he just disappears. And I mean, he signed a big contract, and I don't see it, you know. And I'd just like to hear your answer on that. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Ron. Knox signs the big contract, and the moment he did that, expectations were raised. He was the sixth highest paid tight end in football. Sixth. I don't know if that's still the case. Waller did sign after him, but he's still up there. And yesterday, yeah, he had nothing going into the fourth quarter. He ends with two catches for 27 yards. Now, Knox did have a very good day against the Browns on this past Sunday. So, you know, he's been what he's been for his career. Knox has been a good tight end that is not very involved in the offense compared to his peers at the same position in the league. And he's a guy that scores touchdowns. Well, this year, what do I got? Around the same target share, around the same receptions amount, it hasn't gone up. He's still a bit role player in the offense. And now the touchdowns have gone away, which I think a lot of people knew that there would be regression in that department, but not this much regression. Two touchdowns in 10 games. That's a lot of regression. So, to your point, Ron, they need more from Knox on a consistent basis? Yes, they do. We talk a lot about receiver. I don't know if there's a tight end out there that they could even add. Quinton Morris plays. Quinton Morris plays a lot, and he doesn't get the ball a lot, but he's on the field, and he lines up a receiver a lot. So, yeah, the production from the tight end position in general, it hasn't really been there. But to be fair, it really never has. If you look at
the target share in the offense year by year for the Bills. Pull this up. I had this last week. The Bills have thrown to tight ends as little as anybody in the NFL in the last 3 years. They're always near the bottom when it comes to the tight end position and how what percentage of their targets goes to it. And that could be an argument as to why you never pay Knox in the first place, but they wanted him on the team, and he's, you know, he's in step with Allen off the field, so, and he's a good player. But yeah, I would like to see more from him, for sure. Is there a tight end out there? I don't really think there is. Is Rob Gronkowski, like, have we given up on that? We've officially decided he is retired, and that is real? Gronk is gone? Would it be flabbergasting if he returned? I'm not saying he would return to the Bills, even if he did, but 803-0550 is the phone number. Thanks for the call, Ron. That was getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. Linda in Rochester. What's up, Linda?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. I have two things. So I was sitting next to my husband, and I'm watching the game, and I said to him, you know, Josh has got to just air it out. He's got to air it out because he's got to keep the defenses honest. And lo and behold, then he throws the bomb to Stephon Diggs, the 36-yarder. And I think every now and then he just – because if he doesn't, the defenses are always going to play up, right, because they're going to say, oh, Josh can't throw the long ball. His elbow is hurting him. Well, I think he just has to occasionally throw – I mean, with a sensible long ball just to keep defenses – honest. And I want to like talk about Nate after the show, the post game show, was just losing his mind about oh my gosh and woe is us and this. And you know, I gotta say, we won two games in the middle of a snowstorm back and forth. I don't even know if these guys have their driveways shoveled out yet. Wives at home with a bunch of kids over Thanksgiving. I mean, this is a lot. And so I'm really not panicking. Could they have looked better yesterday? Yeah. But I think considering all the circumstances, I am really not worried. I'm going to wait to see what they look like after the Patriots game, which by all rights we should win. And then I'll think about it. But I look at this game like how it was for the Tampa Bay game last year. You know, they lost, of course, that one. But somehow it was like this defining moment, like, okay, we got to pick ourselves up and get going. And I think perhaps yesterday's game was like that. So I just want to share my thoughts, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Linda. I don't think it's right to be in panic mode by any means about this team, because you're right. How many excuses could they have made for losing that game? And they didn't. But how many reasons could you have put towards that's why they lost? You could start with the fact they were missing Von Miller for 3/4 of the game. That's huge. The number one pass rusher. Your whole defense shifted. You became a blitz-heavy team the moment he goes out. You were missing Tremaine Edmonds, your star middle linebacker, who they clearly have been missing since he's been out. Tre'Davious White only played two drives. Didn't have your number one corner. Still don't. Deion Dawkins left the game. Mitch Morse didn't play. You have two reliably good offensive linemen on this team, and both were out by the second quarter. Morse didn't play, and Dawkins got hurt. So now you're with Questenberry, and Bates is at center, and Saffold, who hasn't been great this year. It was a mishmash of linemen. Allen, a lot of times, would snap the ball and immediately have to scramble out of the pocket. And that's fine, because he's that athletic and able to do that. But man, that line is lucky that Allen is able to do that. Also, it affected the run game. Morse and Dawkins not being in there. I mean, the Bills didn't run the ball a whole lot the way they did against Cleveland, despite the fact Detroit is a bottom five rush defense in football. Why? Not because Detroit was doing well at it. It was because they just didn't have the linemen to do it. What other excuses? Well, a lot of what Linda just said. We don't know that their driveways are shoveled. We don't. They've been dealing with a lot. They played two games in 5 days. They have had a limited amount of practices. How many practices, real full practices, have they even had in the last 10 days? Two? Three? It hasn't been a lot. So, yes. And, by the way, that Lions team had won three in a row. and there was reason to believe they were better than their record for the amount of close games they have played against really strong teams. They lost by 3 to the Eagles. They played close against the Vikings. They played close against the Dolphins. And they still pulled it out. They still won the football game. They found a way to do it. So, with all that being said, and by the way, I have not even said, building up to it, the number one excuse that you could have filed for the Bills losing that football game, Allen's elbow. Allen's elbow, for me, might be number one on that list. If your quarterback is not right, it's very hard to win. Look at the Chargers. The Chargers, they kept Justin Herbert in there. He kept playing. And there were a lot of excuses why the Chargers weren't winning games. Their top reason might have been they were missing their both number one and number two wide receivers for most of the year in Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But did you watch Justin Herbert from weeks 2 through 8 after he had cracked ribs against the Chiefs in the second game of the year? Did not look the same. He kept battling it out. He kept playing. And when a quarterback does that, he's opening himself up to being judged when he is at a broke when he's at a broken form of himself. And that's what happened to Herbert. Herbert, I think the narrative on him this season is, well, he's kind of having a down year. He's regressing a little bit. When in reality, guy's just broken. The guy couldn't breathe. He wouldn't even run when he had an easy first down because he just could not take a hit. He'd have to leave the game after. That's how much the injury was affecting him. Herbert, it was clear. Allen, it's tougher to see. It's tougher to figure out. How much is the UCL injury in his elbow affecting him? And you have to kind of pick up on little clues along the way to try to figure it out. And some of the clues that have been dropped started last week. Last week against the Browns, during the telecast, the play-by-play and color man, the names are escaping me at this point in time, so I apologize for that, but they said that in their production meeting with Josh Allen, that those TV guys do every game before a game, they talk with the quarterback, they talk with the coach, and they said Allen told them that it's harder with this injury for him to throw sidearm because the muscles feel tight with his injury. And if you look at that and think about what does that mean, you can connect it to his throwing motion. And if you watch very closely his throwing motion in the last 3 games, it doesn't quite look the same as we're accustomed to. It, to me, looks more similar to what he entered the league with. When Allen first entered the league, he had this tomahawk-looking throwing motion. Very vertical. Very vertical throwing motion. And is part of the reason why he was so inaccurate in college and in his first year. Sailing throws over receivers' heads, putting them in the dirt. It's just not an effective way to throw the football. So, what did he do? He's talked about it repeatedly. Had his throwing motion digitally mapped. He talked with Jordan Palmer, his QB coach in the offseason. He would work on things with Dable and Ken Dorsey. And they went to the workshop and they cleaned up his lower body mechanics. And he started throwing with a little bit of a different angle, a little bit more of a whip to it, and a little bit more of a sidearm throw, at least closer to it than what he came into the league with. And I don't know. In the last couple of games, it looks to me like he's throwing more in that like tomahawk type style. And maybe that's because it hurts or it just feels weird. It feels tight for him to throw the football with a more horizontal angle than he came into the league with. So that could be a reason why, hey, there have been a couple of short throws he's sailed. There's been a couple of balls that he's missed. And that has happened. But also, he's so gifted and so talented that we saw the throw to Diggs, even with an elbow injury bothering him, the throw to Diggs, him and Mahomes, that gets said a lot, right? Like, there are some throws that Mahomes will make where it gets said only Mahomes and Allen can make it. And there are some throws that Allen can make that he'll throw that will say only Mahomes and Allen can throw that football. That's one of those plays. That ball to Diggs. That ball has got to get to that spot, and it's got to get there fast. It's not even about accuracy, although it's as accurate as it can possibly be. It sticks right to Diggs. Tua can't make that throw. Derek Carr can't make that throw. Kirk Cousins can't make that throw. Your arm has to be strong enough to get that ball at that exact point in time because the safety is right on Diggs, and he is about to make contact. Even when bothered by an elbow injury, he's so gifted he can make a throw like that. But I also think you can say the elbow injury is part of the reason why their offense has looked like a struggle and why they punted the ball three times in a row yesterday for the first time all season. I don't think it's stopping the Bills from achieving their goals, their regular season goals, the division, and tracking down the one seed. But I do think it's going to make things a lot harder. If Allen is missing, even if it's just one more pass every 15 than he typically does, that might not sound like a lot. He misses one more pass for every 15 throws than he normally does. But that adds up at the end of the game. Because if, you know, this game he throws 42 times. That's three passes. Three plays that could have gone their way. And I don't have three specific plays in mind. I'm just kind of making those numbers up as I go. But I do think he looks a little bit more inaccurate than normal. He's throwing the ball a little bit differently than normal. And I think that adds up to, yeah, the elbow injury is affecting him. And the Bills didn't let that be an excuse. And they won the game anyway. And that's why they're the Super Bowl favorite. All of those excuses that we just ran through, that long list, still won the football game on the road against a team that had won three in a row. So you can only be so concerned today, I think, because there are things to point out and to evaluate and that they need to get better at. But at the same time, look at the circumstances in which they just won. Let's go to Larry and Tonawanda. What's up, Larry? You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good. How about you?
Good. So just I want to digress here. Those Goathead jerseys, those things look great.
Oh, I loved them.
Yeah, they were awesome. I was happy my kiddos got to see them. You know, people just need to relax. If this is Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, we're going to be hearing, oh, Mahomes is the greatest thing since sliced bread and bottled beer. Finds another way to win a close game. Meanwhile, it's the Bills. Oh, this team sucks, and this guy's hurt, and this guy's not good enough. Well, people, the fans are driving me nuts. Just cram it. They're 8-3, and you know, right now they're a half game above Miami. Miami's got a 3-game road trip coming up here after this week. Probably going to go 1-2. And then the next point I wanted to make is we pay a lot of money for Diggs, and next year Allen. We got a lot of money tied up. Our bench players are not the greatest, and I'm not sure why we're not drafting a wide receiver. Our receivers can't get open right now. And then our linemen. You got two linemen out, as you said. But we should be drafting some corn-fed, ginormous boys out of the Midwest or Big Ten Conference that we can really slam the ball down other teams' throats. You get a lead and stay ahead and get ahead. That's really the end of the game here. So I'll hang up and listen. Larry said, waha for Judge.
Thanks for the call, Larry. The receiving and offensive line point, I completely agree with. I mean, they should have been investing in that a little bit more than they have all along. But they've been very focused on building the defense and making the defense as good as possible. But now, yeah, you got line problems. Part of that's injury, but not all of it's injury. Your guard play has been inconsistent for 5 years. Your receiving core is a one-man show. You're getting a different guy every week that seems to step up. So you're getting by. Yesterday it was McKenzie. 10 targets, 96 yards, a touchdown. McKenzie was great yesterday. But he had disappeared for a month before that. One target against the Browns for McKenzie. Gabe Davis has been inconsistent, both with his hands and getting open, and that's really where it's fallen short in that positional group. And I think the Bills were right to expect that Davis would take a step forward, and he really hasn't. But I think they were right to expect it because he was showing out. I mean, he was earning more playing time. And then he would get in and he was earning it even more. Not just the Chief game. Leading into that Chief game, every time he was on the field, he was efficient. And he was getting open down the field on comeback routes. He was making tough catches. He was showing that he had all the tools to be a starting receiver in football. The ability to get open, the ability to go open down the field, and to make tough catches. And right now, one, he's not getting open on a regular basis. And two, he's not making tough catches. So he's playing okay, but the breakout was what I think we were expecting. That has not happened. And until that happens, there's going to be a desire to see a legit number two receiver in this offense. Like the Dolphins have. The Dolphins have two guys. The Chiefs, up until this year, had two guys. They had Kelce and Hill. No first-round pick attempt at that for the Bills. No second-round pick attempt for that for the Bills. No free agent contract. I'm okay with that. I'd rather they do it in the draft. But now, we'll talk about Beckham a little bit later. Maybe Beckham is going to be the answer to that. Take a phone call. Let's go to Alex in Pittsburgh. Alex, you're on the Extra Point Show. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I have a comment and a quick question. First off, I want to say Ed Oliver, what a beast he is. I've seen him all game long pushing the offensive lineman back and making awesome big plays. And hopefully when his contract's up, maybe Bean can make a little wiggle room to re-sign him. And whenever Edmonds isn't on the field, it's noticeable. I know a lot of fans our love-hate relationship with Edmonds, but I love him ever since we drafted him. And my one question is, because I live in Pittsburgh, I don't get the local coverage. What can I think of his
For Pittsburgh?
Miller, Von Miller. Von Miller's injury. I heard he walked off the field and everything, but does that look serious? And in the Crowder, I know he's on IR, but I don't know if he's a year-long.
So real quick, Alex, Crowder maybe by the playoffs would be back, but it's not sounding like he'll be back anytime soon. And Von Miller, we don't know. We have to wait. The most we have right now, Ian Rappaport says, looks like knee sprain, but it's too early to tell for sure on all of that. MRI today. I bet we find out later today the severity. But when he left the field, and we saw the replay, and all we know about the Detroit turf, Odell Beckham was tweeting about the turf. He was furious on Twitter, Beckham was, when he saw his friend Von Miller go down with probably what he thought at the time was the same injury. And we'll see. But didn't everybody think, that's it, we're not seeing him again the rest of the year? And what a blow. But, you know, maybe there's some optimism that if you trust Rappaport, and I guess you trust who Rappaport's talking to, there's reason to believe that, hey, maybe we do see him again this year. One more quick phone call before we hit a timeout. Michael in Georgia, you're on the Extra Point Show. What's up, Michael?
Okay. Hey, thanks for taking the call. Try to make it quick here. So with all the adversity everybody mentioned, okay, 3 days in between the two games, Mike, you asked the question about offensive coordinator and this and that, put it out there. So, yeah, injuries, all this adversity, losing the two games, and then after that not having, time to practice after the we gave away the Vikings game. So with the offensive coordinator, yeah, I think there's room for improvement and adjusting. It's kind of hard when you don't have practices. But also, with all that being said, with all the adversity, with the losses on the offensive line and whatnot, I think he maybe crafted a game plan, and even at the end, so they could win that game. And like you said, two games they could have lost. Sale had his arrow downs, a lot of arrow downs. I agree with them all. But in spite of that, we're Sale's always saying, look at all these things that happened for, Buffalo to lose the game. Well, look at all these things that happened that could have caused Buffalo to lose the game. But I give him some credit. I still think they have to make some adjustments, okay?
Yeah.
But my comment. Hey. I think he did a good job. I think he can improve.
Michael, thanks for the call. That was getting connected with our fans, brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. All that's right. Our poll that we put up, by the way, the Michael reference there. What do you think, this is from Jeremy on Twitter, what do you think is the trouble for the Bills offense right now? The offensive coordinator, we'll talk more about Dorsey coming up. Josh Allen's elbow. Roster construction of the offense. Or nothing at all. Let me know what you think. We got open phone lines, 803-0550. We're going to keep flying through phone calls today. No guests, just me and you. So pick up the phone, give me a call, and we'll get to you right when we come back here on the Extra Point Show. Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
From the Detroit 3, drops the snap, picks it up, takes a look. He's going to run with it. He is into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen ran it in from 3 yards out. He dropped the snap, and he ran it in anyway. Touchdown, Bills. They take the lead.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Shotgun snap. Wants to throw. Pocket collapsing in the end zone. Spins away. He's dropped. He's dropped in the end zone for the safety. It was Ed Oliver who got him. The Bills get a safety on the play.
John Murphy on the call. Ed Oliver. Big sack there. Some pressure up the middle. Von Miller had been out. It was much needed. And the Bills win the game in part because they got that safety. 803-0550 is the phone number. What's the trouble with the Bills' offense right now? Is it the coordinator? Is it Allen's elbow? Or do you think it's the roster construction? I think you can make a solid argument that it's any of the three, or maybe that all three are playing into it. But which one do you think is the most? What's the biggest reason for it, I should say? Let's go to the phone lines. Give us a call. 803-0550. We'll start with Steve in Watertown. Steve, you're on the Extra Point Show. How's it going?
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Listen, there is a solid point for all three, but I'm a firm believer, and I'm the dope that shuts the TV sound off and listens to Murph and Sal and Eric Wood. I'm the dope that gets the All-22. I'm the dope that charts this. And Shakir is not in an open position. They're scheming him open. It's within steps. The play with Cook yesterday, he was behind a linebacker. He steps out another 3 feet, 2 feet. He's wide open where Josh threw the football.
Yeah.
So it's not all scheme, although it's not perfect. Some of it is relying on young players, rookies and such, that are in the wrong position. And the other part is, the biggest part, and this is Jimmy's or Joe's and X's and O's, Josh Allen's not healthy. His arm hurts. And we're up against, we were up against hell in Orchard Park with a snowstorm. 2 wins in 5 days. That's, nobody in the NFL has done that. And then been out of their beds, and then people are saying, oh, we should have stayed in Detroit. Where do you want to sleep, in your bed or in a hotel bed? I like being home. Have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Steve. Let's get in connect with our fans, brought to you by the law firm of Gelbern O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. James Cook had the misstep that Tony Romo pointed out on the television broadcast where it was almost intercepted. In fact, the refs called it a pick before changing it because the Sky ref can actually see things as opposed to the refs on the field. So got changed very quickly, and the Bills escape a mistake that was maybe a little bit on the quarterback, but probably was a lot on the running back as well. Cook kind of fading to the left when he should have gone to the open field on the right. Allen throws it there. Those two just not on the same page in that moment. Then Cook has a drop a couple of plays later. There are some young players in this offense. Cook not really establishing himself this year. It's something that I think the Bills were planning on having that they don't. And then you're right. That is a play. There's a couple of plays where it's not scheme. It's personnel. And it feels as though that hasn't been helping Dorsey. But like the caller, Steve, I don't think what Dorsey's been doing is perfect. There isn't as much pre-snap motion. There isn't as much creativity. It does feel more like, I got this play, Josh, you'll figure it out. And that's simplifying it way too much, I know. But trick plays, McKenzie sweeps, you know, these little bubble screens to the running backs out of the backfield. Just where is it? Where is any of it? Let's go to Kyle in Toronto. You're on the Extra Point Show. What's up, Kyle?
What's up? Good morning, guys. So I was actually in the game. I went to the game yesterday in Detroit with my brother and some friends. And I was probably a third of the stadium was Bills fans, which was awesome. And you sort of, you mentioned most of the points I was saying, but I really don't buy that it's Allen's elbow that's leading to the stagnant offense. I mean, Allen's elbow wasn't bugging him in Green Bay in the second half. And, you know, my point about, and I've been sort of on Dorsey's back all season, but I think the one thing, of course, there's some personnel issues like the previous caller said about Cook, but one thing that's pretty obvious is second half, our offense looks worse. And so to me, that's indicative of being outcoached and having the other team make adjustments and us not being able to counter it. So, you know, if we were stable all game with our offensive play calling, it's one thing. But the fact that every second half we seem to struggle more than even we do in the first half suggests to me that we have a problem with our coaching. And I think exactly what you said, there's no creativity in the play calling. There's very few, plays. And, you know, it's hard to imagine that McKenzie, Knox, Davis are all having off seasons. To me, it's that the play calling isn't getting them into the spots that were successful last year. And maybe missing a guy like Beasley to have a reliable outlet for Josh, which was his safety net, is one guy where I think we're missing. But it's hard to not believe that Dorsey's not the main problem and the play calling needs to be better.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Kyle. A lot of good points there, and I agree with the point that, I mean, most of those I agree with. McKenzie, Knox, and Davis all having off seasons. There's no way. It's got to be in part how the offense is designed. All those guys' efficiencies have been cut in half. Not Knox. Knox, I guess it's relatively the same. But Davis and McKenzie are putting up similar production to what they were doing in half the snaps in previous seasons. That should not be the case. How did that happen? How did they go from every time they're on the field, Davis more so than McKenzie, they're producing, to now they're starters, expanded workload, and they're just not a part of the offense? I don't know. I don't get why that's happened. Because those were two players that the Bills have been able to count on and had earned expanded roles. And Davis has the athletic profile to be able to use him and make him a part of the offense regularly. He is a good downfield receiver, a great one. A great downfield receiver. I guess maybe I, in some, overestimated how far he had come from college to now. Because we heard Patrick Peterson, cornerback from the Vikings, say in a podcast recently that he knows Davis only runs a couple of routes. And that was the book on Davis coming out of college. It wasn't that he was fast. He had the ability to get open down the field. He had the size to be able to win contested balls. It was, he only ran three routes at UCF. It's all we heard about him after the Bills picked him. He's raw. He only ran three routes at UCF. And I don't know, I had felt like maybe we had reached the point where Davis, like, that wasn't a thing anymore, that he did run a full route tree. And if that's not true, if that's not the case, then I guess a little of that could be on Davis, but a little bit that could be on Dorsey too, if he's using him in a very specific way. But a lot of that schematics is over my head for how Dorsey is using Davis, how Dorsey is using McKenzie. The overall point from Kyle's call I want to take, though, is the safety valve not being there. Could that be where a lot of these turnovers are happening? These picks in the red zone and really all around the field. Were those Beasley plays last year? Were those Beasley plays that Allen is now forcing down the field? I don't know. One more call before we hit a break. Let's go to Mike in Rochester. How's it going, Mike?
Hi there. Hey, you know, one thing, you know, everyone's talking about the offensive coordinator. Well, you know, the offensive coordinator also helps when they have a healthy quarterback to practice with. And my understanding is that Allen has really not been practicing much, if at all, with the team. And, you know, but I also agree with the, you know, I was going to say, too, I think, yeah, you know, Beasley meant a lot to Josh Allen the first couple of years as he was developing. And one more point about Gabe Davis. One of the things they said when he was drafted is that he is a very intelligent, very smart player, and he knows how to run routes. I never heard the three route thing, but yeah. You know, he runs those three routes very, very well. And you know, all you have to do is just look at the Chiefs playoff game, and you can see how well it works when they have some time to practice. And Allen is feeling healthy.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, Mike. That was going to connect with our fans. Brought to you by the law firm of Gelber and O'Connell. We take your personal injury case personally. The practice time, he's been limited. He was limited to practice all this week, at least. So I don't know exactly how many reps he's been getting, if it's been all of them, if it's half of them, if it's 80% of them. I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure it does affect them in some way. I'm sure the snowstorm and Allen's injury and all those players getting sick last week and their limited practice time on the field together has affected them in these two games. But it's hard to pin it all on that because a lot of their problems extend beyond just the last two games. We're going back to the Steeler game. Everything after the Steeler game for a lot of these. The red zone picks, the lack of a number two weapon on a consistent basis. It's hard to make that point today, though, because McKenzie was so good yesterday. But I got a point on him, actually, when we come back. Why I think McKenzie was good yesterday and why I think you can't necessarily count on him every week to be a consistent producer, but you can count on him this coming week, too. We'll get to that when we come back. And more phone calls. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase and the Extra Point Show on WGR.
The snap. Josh wants to throw. Fires left side. Caught. Touchdown. Stephon Diggs. Touchdown, Buffalo. They moved it all the way down the field, and the Bills regained the lead with 2 minutes 40 seconds left.
We start clicking. I feel like, you know, we're running the ball so efficiently that we're probably not passing as much as we used to. You know what I'm saying? Like, motor is busting them out the wrapper. So it's like, it's a couple of those extra passes that, you know, might get us in a little bit of a rhythm. But, I mean, I feel like we have such a balanced offense right now that it's like, it's hard to, you know what I'm saying, we can do everything.
Stephon Diggs, Bills wide receiver. Made that incredible catch. I'm watching that play back, actually, right now. Funny, Sean McDermott sprinting down the sidelines to call timeout is actually really funny. And also, he's way faster than I would have thought he was. Not that I wouldn't have thought he could run, but McDermott can move. Watch, see if you can find it. I retweeted it. The above all 22 camera angle of the Allen Diggs play to set up the field goal. McDermott takes off while the ball is in the air. Like, he's got some idea it's going to be completed. He takes off towards the referee. It's actually really funny. 803-0550 is the phone number. Joe DiBiase and the Extra Point Show. Keep flying through phone calls. That's the show today. You want to call in? You got a thought? Today's your day. Not that any other day isn't, but some Thanksgiving chatter to get to. I tried a pie that I'd never had before for the first time on Thanksgiving. I got to get to my experience at the Sabres game on Wednesday before the show runs out of time, because it was the best Sabre game I've been to in a decade. But we'll get to that in the next hour. Let's go to Thomas in Colorado. What's up, Thomas?
First-time caller. I wanted to talk about the lack of trade deadline moves. I'd say 2 years in a row. I'd say probably the most important thing for the success of this team is protecting our star quarterback. And at the trade deadline, there were some high-quality offensive guards available at pretty reasonable. My thought is perhaps we're trying to save money for what we thought was going to be the OBJ signing, which looks like it's not going to happen.
Well, maybe. I mean, he's visiting with the Bills the first week of December, so it could.
Yeah, the talk on the national media, or I mean the TV stations, is pretty much like it's a done deal with Dallas because they beat the Giants. And I hope that's not true. But that still doesn't – I think we have two very good offensive linemen and sometimes three okay ones, and our depth is very suspect. Why did we not sign an offensive guard at the deadline when they were available relatively cheap? I think that's going to come back to haunt us.
Thanks for the call, Thomas. I mean, I would have liked to see them add a guard too. I don't know that anyone was actually moved, though. Guards at the trade deadline. If I pull up trade deadline moves, am I going to find a guard trade? I didn't remember one happening. So maybe there was one out there, but maybe the Bills poked around and thought, hey, maybe we can get one cheap, and there actually wasn't one cheap. I'll look, but to the larger point, yeah, O-line is not very stable at the moment, and that's outside of just Morse and Dawkins being injured. Ryan Bates has been a problem at times this year. Saffold has had not a great year. And that maybe was predictable. Titans fans and Titans media all offseason were saying, this guy is great in run blocking, but he's going to be a problem in pass protection. And that's kind of been the book. Exactly what he was in Tennessee, it's exactly what he is here. And the Bills are a team that throws the ball more than the Titans do by a lot. So you see it a little bit more often here, I guess. But I'm looking right now through the deadline trades. Defensive end was moved. Jeff Wilson was a running back. Calvin Ridley, a receiver. Bradley Chubb, a pass rusher. William Jackson, a corner. Claypool, a receiver. TJ Hockenson, a tight end. Roquan Smith, a linebacker. Receiver. Defensive end. Defensive tackle. Running back. Running back. Receiver. Linebacker. Here we go. One lineman was traded at the deadline. The week of the deadline. Not even just deadline day. The week of the deadline, one lineman was traded. The Patriots traded backup offensive tackle Justin Heron to the Raiders, and the teams swapped 2024 sixth and seventh round picks. So there you go. And I'm not mad the Bills didn't trade for Justin Heron. But to the larger point, I get it. I get it about the line. 803-0550 is the phone number. We'll take more calls when we come back. What is the biggest concern with the Bills right now? Or we have not heard from someone yet that said there is nothing to be concerned with. They'll figure it out. There maybe is a case to be made on that front as well. Some Sabres talk in the next hour. Bills talk, of course. Your calls when we return. Joe DiBiase, the Extra Point Show on WGR.
Has a pocket, going to run it. Josh on the run, got wide open spaces at the 40, at the 30, at the Lions 25, and spilled to the ground at the Detroit 23-yard line. A 21-yard run by Josh Allen before Kirby Joseph brought him down.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too.
Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.